In the past, you would hear stories of people being separated from their parents. Sometimes it's a child that is adopted, and then he doesn't know his real parents. And at times, there are fights, feuds, and wars. As a result, the child was separated, taken as a captive, and he was separated from his real parents. Like we hear from the Zayd ibn Harithah radiallahu anhu, some type of a feud, he's taken as a captive, sold in the streets of Makkah Mukarramah, bought out by Khadija radiallahu anha. So you hear these cases. The child, whoever it be, is for a natural inclination to trace his parents down. That who are my parents? And moreover, when he hears or he knows that his parents were very kind to him, but for some reason not known, they were separated. So he wants to trace his parents down. Same happens to an adopted child. He wants to know who are his real parents. And if this information is concealed and not made known to him or disclosed to him, then you see some type of a deficiency in this child. Because there's a void, he wants to see how, where he came from, and some information is being blocked from him. So when that information is blocked, so there is some void in the child, something is empty. And he can't find that void, he can't find satisfaction, fulfillment, he can't find the comfort of the mind. But the day he got to know his parents, he tracked them down, he doesn't mind traveling the world to find them, bring any amount of wealth, getting back to his parents. And as I say, especially if the parents were very considerate and kind towards him, he wants to track them down. And from that point now, you feel there's a satisfaction, fulfillment, there was a void, and now I fill the void. Now, the parents are, they just deliver the child. The woman is in hospital, so she delivered, right? That means the making of the child was not her job. Yes, the delivering of the child was her job. You received a gift, right? So the courier delivered it to you. You appreciate the courier for having delivering it in a nice way. But the main appreciation is shown to the gifter. So the courier dispatched it on to you, you appreciate, you thankful to him, you are grateful to him for him passing it on. But the note of thanks and the note of appreciation, acknowledgement is shown to the gifter. And until you don't know the courier, that's mother, right? You don't know her, you feel a void within you. You feel something lacking, you feel a deficiency within you. Right? When you get to know, you find a satisfaction, a fulfillment. Now that's just the courier. She isn't the one that gave the life, the organs, the limbs, the brains, the understanding, the satisfaction, she didn't give anything. She just passed it on through the pain and passed it on. But the attachment is so much that you don't mind traveling the world to go and track her down. For comfort, you don't mind making any sacrifice, spending any amount of wealth, just to see the mental comfort of that mother. And without that, there's such a void, such a deficiency in the person. The person is still abnormal. Now then understand, what will be the level of deficiency when the person could not find the creator, his creator, maker. One is the courier and one is the maker. You haven't tracked him down, you didn't understand who he is, not relating to him, not acknowledging him. So will there be an abnormality in you or not? It will be abnormal. Your behavior will not be normal. Your understanding won't be right. Your reasoning will be off. In the physical realm, you can make it out very easily that there's going to be something totally abnormal. You can see his behavior, his ways, abnormal, right? Why? Because he didn't find his parents. But if you didn't find the one that made him, that gave this life, the gift of life, then can you understand what will be the level of abnormality in that person? So, now the whole life revolves around this. I was reading one Malfooz of Azmur, Tarmi Sahib Rahmat Tariq. So someone asked, what is the reason for this? Suluk and Ta'aluk and the Mashaik, etc. What is the reason? So he says, apne Rab ke saath shiddat e ta'aluk, to create a very strong bond with your creator. You bring it to the level, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ, that your bond with Allah Ta'ala must be not just mild, not casual. It must be extremely strong. So if it's mild, good relationship with your parents, but a casual one, like a friend, etc. So that's not a relationship. Mild one is not a relationship, not a good one. A moderate one is also not good. But you got a strong relationship, I say it's a good relationship. So the mother only delivered. The one that is gifting, what's supposed to be the relationship with him? Still, one person is Majaz al-Bayt, who is Mu'athani Sabr Rahmatullah Ali. So the whole town likes him. And because they like him, they can understand him, they can reason, talk to him, right? He's the man of the town, right? So they reason with him, they talk to him, they refer to him. Now, the town's people, there is a need for a counselor, head of the town. India had some systems, right, in the day of English, the English, right? So one person to represent them. All agreed on the same person, that this person should be representing us over town. We refer to him, he understands, he reasons, he is the man. So now, they approached him that you must accept this position. He said, no, not interested. I am under the guidance of my sheikh, and I am not going to take any decision. Now, see the relationship that he's got with the sheikh. I'm not going to take any decision. In this age and time, if you ask me, what is the problem? Why? You don't find that level of progress. Fine, but very, very gradual, very mild, you know, very slow. Like you're traveling to Johannesburg, about 10 kilometers an hour. One day you'll reach, inshallah. But that's the speed. The reason is that they don't give that level of relationship, that level of attachment. So the sheikh is just one of those things now. He's there now, saw him, so what? So that's the level of relationship, that's the bond. And your progress is proportionate to your bonding. How you bond, that's how you're going to be progressing. You bond very well, very strong, then your behavior will show it. Your conduct will show it. Your ways and mannerisms will show it. And then that's the way of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَّمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. That's the way. You have that bond, then you show that appreciation. It comes first from ma'rifat, you understand. From understanding, you find the level of gratitude and appreciation. And from the level of appreciation and gratitude, then is the progress. That's how it works. First, you understand, get to know. After you get to know, who is he? Then you want to appreciate. And then when you start appreciating, then you start escalating. But first you know. So you recognize Allah Ta'ala first. So when you recognize him, alright, he gave me life. From non-existence, he granted me existence. Say before 70 years from now, so none of us were around. I just have to look at the people who's here, then I can say 70 years. 70 years ago, nobody was around. And inshallah, after 70 years, there will be nobody around. So he's blessed you with existence, with the gift of life. And he has given you limbs and organs, everything. And one limb and organ is so priceless that you don't want to sell it to anybody for any price. They ask you, give me your liver. Give you America now is in debt for approximately 50 trillion. Right? Is in debt, right? Say, alright, we'll give you 50 trillion. Prepared? So one organ Allah gets blessed, right? You don't want to sell it. For anything in the world, you don't want to sell it. Now then gradually you begin to understand your Allah Ta'ala. خَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Allah has made everything and He's given everything proportion. So creation means, when you talk about Allah and creation, it means from non-existence He granted you existence. That's the one meaning of creation. That there was nothing, right? And from nothing He's brought you. So I ask, can anybody do that? From nothing to make you. So if it is a manufacturer, then he'll have the parts and he'll assemble the parts, right? That's all he'll do. It's a building, so he puts the parts together and becomes a building. But Allah Pak, He brought you from nothing, absolutely you were nothing, He brought you. Right? But He brought you, and how magnificently He brought you. Today, the stats are showing that the world birth rate is approximately about 800,000 a day. 800,000 people are born every day. 700,000 is the stats are showing, right? That means Allah Ta'ala is sending 1.6 million kidneys every day. 1.6 eyes every day. 1.6 ears every day, right? 1.6 hands every day. Irreplaceable. He's sending it every day. So when he's sending it, right, and you say you can't attach a value to these things that he's given you, can you see what he's got in his stocks? إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا إِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنَ. He's got the khazanas. فَقَدَّرَهُ التَّقْدِيرًا. Then he's given everything in absolute proportion, due proportion. Right, so the proportion is in different ways, not just one single way. He's created the proportion, and the proportion in different ways. So that creation that required a certain type of a shape, a certain type of a function, a certain type of a characteristic, is blessed, right? Right? For example, now the earth, right? For the earth to be functional, it needed to be in a certain way. It couldn't be so hard like iron that it couldn't penetrate through it. Imagine it was harder than iron. Now you need to dig a well, will it be easy? You need to build a house, will it be easy? So difficult. So he didn't make it so hard that you can't penetrate the earth. And he didn't make it so soft you just sink into it. He just made it like you can enjoy and you can fulfill your functions. You got work to do, build roads, build canals, build wells, etc. You can do everything. So he's built it like that. Then the greatest need of man was air. Is there a need as great as air. For 2 minutes or 3 minutes, you don't have any oxygen, you can die. So there isn't a need as great as oxygen. And the oxygen Allah made it such that it reaches you, you don't have to go out for it. And it reaches everybody, wherever you are. In your home, in your flat, in a cell, in a basement, in a motor car, in a shopping mall, wherever you are, is this coming to you. And then it's such that you don't have to store it up. You don't have to store it up, it's reaching you. But now, who created that? فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. He has created everything in proportion. The shape, the characteristic, the way, the function of it, He's designed it complete. Then, the third greatest need of man was water. So, that became so easily available that after air, the commodity that is most easily available is water. Wherever you are, it reaches you. And the shape it comes in, everybody can collect it. In your utensil, in your tank, in anything, in your gutters, in your drains, you can collect that, you can assemble that. How you made it. So everything is given it a shape, a function, characteristic, and then a shape and a design. So he's made man such that man has got a shape and got a design. Because they need to bond, so the opposite gender and need to bond, right? So there is some attraction in both, right? Man to woman and woman to man, there is some attraction. Which is like this. I care what she has, lakpo lambo she. His nose is too long, right? So he's given you a shape, he's given you a characteristic, he's given you a look, right? Hasn't he given you? That you look attractive, and then she looks attractive to you. Who's done this? Just think, who's done all this? بَلَا أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَلَا قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَ. His creation is so precise, so immaculate, it is beyond our comprehension. Up to now, from those days to now, a fingerprint, a thumbprint, is some is an official evidence, isn't it? It's an official evidence. Even the airports nowadays use it. But then, can you imagine now how great, how precise, how beautiful the creation is? So you've got, presently you've got approximately 8 billion people living on this earth. And 8 billion different fingerprints. Same one thumb, how many? 1-2 centimeters, isn't it? But his is different to his is different to that person. All. Absolute diverse. Absolute diverse. In that 2 centimeter space, and look at the diversity. Can you imagine now? It's beyond comprehension. In that, see, 10 centimeter face, right? One side to the other side, or 15 the other side, right? 15, 20 the other side. This, such a variety, 8 billion people, all looking different. All looking different, you can make out who's this person, who's that person. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Are you thinking of Allah Ta'ala? The magnificence, the beauty, the greatness. Do you think of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? خَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Everything is given in due proportion. What that creation required, he gave it. The animal was made for meat, right? So if you drive along the north, right, and you see cows grazing, one posture in the ruku posture, and from the morning right till the evening, one way, it's going on, munching away. I ask you to do that. 20 minutes maximum in a briar or something, with park, talk and all that, 1 hour is too much. Or maybe 2 hours, right? After that, it's enough, man. Let's part now. He parks, now let's part. Isn't it? But that thing carries on. Allah made it for meat. To meet you. Isn't it? He made it for meat, to meet you. And that thing is on its job, all day it's on its job. So the purpose it was made for, that thing is carrying out its work. Then you get, again you get, these animals, etc., that clean up all the mess, right? What's the word they use? Scavengers. So, the moment you leave something, the scavengers are there. Flies are there, mosquitoes are there, cockroaches are there, one after the other. They're busy on the job. Ants are there. Scavengers are doing the work. Scavengers of the ocean, scavengers of the earth. Scavengers of the ocean, scavengers of the earth. So on the lighter side, my nephew's there, he's a little bit backwards, right? Quite backwards. So sometimes some people are eating shrimps and prawns. No, as a rule, he doesn't eat it. He can't speak, he can't express himself so well. They eat this, cockroach. You also can make it out that it's a scavenger. He doesn't want to eat it. I don't say it's haram, right? Though I don't eat the thing. But he can make it out that it's not something to be eating as a delicacy. See that وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Everything, proportion, size. Then he's given you a proportion in time. Come up slowly, peak, and then there's a decline. Doesn't this happen? Everything, there's a decline. So, again, that's the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you come up, you peak, and you decline. Before you become an absolute cabbage and useless, Allah took you away. So isn't that good? That He's taken, He brought you up, decline, and before you could come absolutely dependent, He took you away. Isn't that beautiful? See the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Imagine if you had to carry on living for 1,000 years. Then you would feel bored of the life, and people were tired of you. You bored, and people got tired. And they were tired, so tired now. Imagine, nowadays you can already see that, right? So they use a lot of medication, etc., to extend life, alright? So say that, just for example, that life got extended, right? Before people were living at 60, 70 years, now they're living at 80, 85. Now, you can't find caregivers to look after those people. Or if you find the caregivers are not honest enough, not reliable enough. They're just doing it as a job, no love, no attention. See that? So his plan was, you come up and you go down, class. But now you try to bring out an extension, and you can't maintain, you can't sustain the thing. People say, oh, his age now is becoming a little bit dependent. Allah must take him nicely, brought him nicely, take him nicely. You don't hear these type of things, these things. So his plan versus your plan. Your plan, you did all this, and then see the problem that you create for yourself. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Everything in proportion, size, function, everything is same. So now, I just showed you one sifat of Allah Ta'ala, فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, how He planned the whole thing. Right? For everything that Allah Ta'ala plans out, right, so Allah Ta'ala wants you to see it, recognize it, understand. Because you won't see Him directly, you will see Him in His creation. You will see Him in His creation. So see, understand, and you will see the beauty of Allah Ta'ala in His creation. Some creation is made such that He's asked you not to look at it. And some creation He asks you to admire. Unzuru ila samarihi ila asmara wayanri. I think just flowers, right? Ila asmara wayanri. Flowers changes into a fruit and it's fully ripe. Look at the different phases that He's going through. One phase to the next phase. And where it was and what it is now. Admire. Unzuru ila samari ila asmara wayanri. It's just flowered and it's fully grown, it's ripened. Now look from where to where. Where it started from and how Allah Ta'ala brought it up. So some places Allah will ask you, look. And some places say you don't look. يَهُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Don't look at this. So he's got the right to tell, look at this and don't look at this. The mother says to the child, look at me, love me, look at me, admire me, right? But at certain times, I will take a great offense if you look at me. I'm in the toilet, don't look. Right? So she also feels that she's entitled, now you don't look at me. I'm dressing, undressing, don't look at me at this time. So Allah is saying, sometimes, in some occasions, you will look at me, and the beauty of my reflection. And some occasions I will ask you not to look at it. Some occasions I will ask you to look and admire. And some occasions I will ask you not to look, so don't look. The not looking is the better thing for you. To look in one situation was the better thing for you. In another situation, not to look was the better thing for you. So you can see the plan of Allah Ta'ala. So the one thing that He wants you to do is to admire, to understand Him. To admire not just for the sake of admiring, but to recognize Him. It's two different things. Science will just see, that's all. They don't go beyond that. And we go beyond scientists. What we go? So they'll come to a certain point and they just cut off at that point. And we go beyond that point, recognize. Right, beauty, the characteristic, the function, the attraction, right? And then, who did this? So that science just cuts off there. It doesn't go beyond that. So we go beyond them. We have passed them. So they are limited, they are naive. Why they are naive? Because they came to a certain point and they cut off. They don't want to go beyond that. And we said, no, let's go right till the end. So you are racing from Maritzburg to Durban, the marathon, right? So you came right, see, 100 meters before the winning line. So now let's break off. What do you say? Stupidity, isn't it? So that's naivety, that stupidity. You came right to that point and you cut off at that point. Isn't that stupidity? You came right to that end. And now you don't want to bring it, do just a few steps more and you will win then. No, you don't. What do you say? Can there be any person more naive, more stupid, more brainless? Can you find anybody? So that is why that Muslim, that smallest Muslim, is greater than the biggest scientist. Because he brought it right to the end. He went right to the end. He seen, he traced it down, he tracked it down. Who is my creator? I want to see him. I want to see him right to the end. So if you can't find your creator, then definitely there will be a deficiency in you. Like you couldn't find your parents, there was a deficiency, there was a void in you, you couldn't find them. The day you found them, now you feel fulfilled, you feel satisfied. And you couldn't find your creator, there's definitely going to be a void, there's going to be a deficiency in you. You can't say it, it can't be. And when there's going to be a deficiency, you're going to be an abnormal person, you're going to be a normal person. Now that abnormality that you have brought in, you will try to cover it up, cover the void in different ways. But you brought it on yourself because you don't want to recognize the creator. But you don't want to recognize the creator, so there was a vacuum, there was a void. And you understand that there is a void. Now therefore, the world is going in a direction of depression and despondency. For two reasons, two main reasons, they're going into depression and despondency. The one is, they have lost the beginning. They don't know the beginning. They don't want to understand who's the beginning. So, if they want to track down their beginning, they're going into the most ridiculous things, into a chimpanzee or monkey, right? Most ridiculous thing they're going to. So, it's such a ridiculous thing. You know, everybody wants to be called by surname. Mr. Bayyad, Mr. Farak, Mr. Butala, right? Wants to be called. He finds a certain level of respect in the surname, right? So, if I call you Mr. Chimpanzee, Mr. Monkey, Mr. Baboon, we've got a big jalsa now, so Mr. Baboon is coming. Baboon from West Street is coming to give a talk. Mr. Baboon is coming. Isn't it deplorable? So it's a ridiculous thing. So when you move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you bring yourself embarrassment. You bring yourself disgrace. You don't want to be identifying with that. But what was the reason? You moved away from your beginnings. When you moved away from your beginnings, you brought this disgrace and embarrassment on yourself. So it was self-inflicted. Why? You went away from it. So, to the extent that you will not recognize your Creator, will be the extent of your depression and despondency. Now how does it work? Let me tell you how it works. It works like this. See, there is a tragedy, right? Calamity, someone died, accident or drowning or someone died. So, the person that doesn't talk of a Creator, he'll say, no, the doctor, he didn't diagnose it rightly, therefore the person died. So, the doctor's problem. But I ask you, if he shifted the blame onto the doctor, will that be a closure to his calamity? Will it close it? He may get some compensation, that's the most. Or he may take the revenge, he may retaliate. But can he do anything else? By retaliating or asking for compensation, will he find the fulfillment? Will he find satisfaction? He won't find it. But the person is gone, class. But now the one that thinks of a Creator, فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, that Allah Ta'ala planned it like this, it had to come to this point, had to die like this, so that's a plan of Allah Ta'ala. We feel difficult at the point of separation, but it's the point of the work of Allah Ta'ala, let it be. So, haven't you closed it up? But now for these people there is no closure, absolutely no closure. In the days in the past, there used to be execution, right? So that before the execution, they give that person his last desire, what he wanted. So, two Muslims are calling. They're supposed to be on the death row, so they call him. So, one person, they asked him, what's your last desire? So he said, whatever. So, and the Mullah, whoever is advising him, said, alright, are you supposed you're going to be leaving in the next hour? So recite your kalima, you know, so that you live in a good way. But now, he didn't recognize his God. He didn't recognize Allah Ta'ala. He kept his name, gave a Muslim name, see. Now this is a problem in this day, that we're looking for the best name for the children, right? And I don't say do look for good names, look for good names. But that good name is about 5% of the entire job. Entire job is make the person the true Muslim. Just keeping the name, looking for the whole index of names and just confining it to that, really there's no understanding. 5%, 2% is about the good name. 98% is making the person a Muslim. I will just confine it to a good name, and the 98% of the job you're not doing. So haven't you lost it? So this person is just Muslim by name, like you're having it in this day and time. You are Muslim but by name. So now they ask him to recite the kalima. So he says, you know, I heard about the kalima, I recited it for my entire life. And it didn't do anything for me then. Now what can the kalima do for me now? Why must I read it? And he left. They hanged him and he's gone. Next person is also on the death row, as they call him, and the Mullah is prompting him to recite the kalima. So he says, now call my relatives. He says, see, everything happens by the destiny, the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing can happen against His decree. If I was not hanged today and crucified today, then I would have been killed in some other way, I would have died in some other way, because that's the limit. قَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. If not this way, some other way, I would have died at this point and at this time. I'm remorseful for the wrong that I've done, so I make you witnesses that I'm making tawbah for the wrong. And I'm reciting the kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Now, the robe can be suspended. And he died, the person is witnessing, you see, there was a smile on the face. So he made tawbah, he recognized the Creator, and he knew what the Creator wants. So after you recognize the Creator, the second most important thing is to identify and to recognize what He wants. You recognize Him, but you didn't understand what He wants from you. Is the job complete? So that's the second reason for depression and despondency. you either did not recognize your Creator, or you didn't know, you don't want to know what He wants from you. He's brought you about and distinguished you from all creation. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He has distinguished you from every other creation. Every other creation, you stand out. Don't you stand out? You stand out. كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. You stand out amongst the whole galaxy of creation, you stand out. So, when you stand out with an exceptional level of IQ and intelligence, then that intelligence was supposed to be doing something. Find the Creator, understand what He wants. Find the Creator, acknowledge Him, and then appreciate Him. So if you didn't find the Creator, like I say, or you didn't find out what He wants, then really you are a lost case. You are a depressant case. You are a despondent. You're going to be despondent. There's no other. Definitely. Therefore, the whole West, you find the rate of despondency and depression is just escalating, going above the roof. 80-90%. You know that Abdulaziz Mehtar of Gilitz. So he called us one day when the Gilitz. So he's telling me, you know, this town of mine is mostly whites, the ultra wealthy. And there's about a 90% of depression here. So how you make it out? See, next to me is the pharmacy. And this whole town, approximately 90-95% of them, on sleeping time, they can't sleep. Why can't they sleep? They can't sleep because there's no beginning in their life, and there's no goal in their life. There's no beginning, there's no Allah Ta'ala. And when there's no Allah Ta'ala, they don't understand the goal. What is the goal? So, they can't find any closure to anything. They're going in circles. Can you see? So when they're going in circles, they can't sleep. When they can't sleep, they have to artificially make it happen like they're sleeping. But do they sleep? I ask you that artificial sleep and real sleep, is it the same? You're sitting here, right, in the bayan. And the sleep is saying, come, I must come. He says, hey, just hold on down. You have to stop the sleep, isn't it? You stop the sleep. Then you say, oh, come, please, Lord, just stop it, just hold it. And he is calling the sleep and says, no, I don't want to see him. Yeah, the sleep is coming to you, I say, hey, please, just hold it down. See that? So there is no beginning to their lives, and there is no end to their life. Yeah, there is a beginning, and there is an end. And that is the makeup, right? It's in your very makeup that you want an end, you want a goal, right? Be it a Mawlana, or Imam Sahib, or Hafiz Sahib, or a doctor, they're working, alright, Mawlana will be working for Akhir mainly, but he also wants some goal, right? Say, you're going to work the next 3 years here, but no remuneration, no rental, no money, nothing. How many of the staff complement will debate? Even if they do some daily work, but you're not going to get any return, no remuneration, absolutely no promise, nothing. How many will work? So, it's in your makeup to look for a return. I ask you, you're going in a shop, right? You're working in your shop, but no profit. You are taking and going. No returns. You're going to continue the shop. I don't know. You tell them, hey, it's not a barber shop. What do you say that? Though the barbershop are minting it today, but you tell the person, it's not a barbershop, this is my... Don't you say that? So you want a return, a professional person, a non-professional person. But now, there's no such a thing like a return in the akhirah, no such a thing. There's no akhirah, so there's no return for the good that you've done. So is there any point in working for the akhirah? So if you know it in your mind, you know, I'm going to work, and this is the return. I'm going to work, and this is the return. That you're looking forward to something. So there's a meaning in the life. There's a satisfaction. There is a fulfillment in your life. You're looking forward. As you're aging now, you're looking forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I saw enough. Age, time, children, grandchildren, all the whole cycle, I've seen it. I want to see you, Allah. How magnificent you will be. When there's no limit to your beauty. There's no limit to your beauty. How magnificent you will be. I want to see you now. Shokan ila dekhoi. So there is a goal, and then you want to work towards that goal. But if there's absolutely no goal, then
There's no goal, no? So what's the point of life? He's thinking to himself. Now they thought, no, the old, go to an old age home. In that old age home, you're understanding me, they went to an old age home, you know, the top of the range. Can't find a better one there. But all those people are in a state of depression. Like, you know, they're just waiting to die. Everything of the best they've got, but they're just waiting to die. Because they're not finding any type of family love, or absolutely nothing. So they're just waiting to die. So there's no meaning to life. So the life becomes meaningful when there's a beginning, you understand there's a creator, and becomes meaningful when you know there's an end. And that end is going to bring you tremendous reward. Then you're looking forward towards it. I was telling some friends of mine that, you know, when they closed the Umrah down, right? Lockdown and Umrah. So I said, Allah's plan is perfect. There must be some substitute for broken down people like us. You're looking for sawab. So there must be some substitute. So I said, yeah, this one hadith. You make your wuzu nicely, properly, without wasting all that. And then you come to the masjid and perform your ishraq namaz as though you put on the ihram for umrah. He said, let me start on that. I started it off, or truly I'm doing it. So you just have that presence of mind that you made your wuzu nicely, came towards the masjid, did your ishraq, and you want to go on to your work. And for the people in the madrasa, it's so easy, isn't it? Because the masjid is attached to the madrasa. When the masjid is attached to the madrasa, it's all just adjusting the mind. Just come a little bit earlier, say 10 minutes before the time that your ghanta starts, with a 2 rakat namaz, and then you're buzzing with your work. Then the people say, but no, hey, you know, we can't do it because we're working. So you can do it also. How you'll do it? You do it like this, make the wuzu nicely, properly at home, toilet, wuzu, everything. And then you proceed to the masjid. Then, as though you put on the ihram for hajj. Now other hajj is accreditation, lamba chakkar. Yeah, you made your wuzu nicely, came quietly, no talk, either other kibat, no wasting time, talk, etc. Came straight to the masjid, ready for farz namaz. Now you put on the ihram for hajj now. So simple and easy way, how can you miss out that reward? You know, Mawla Junaid, remember, so someone saw his father in the dream that he's got his ihram and he's going towards Hajj or something, Hajj or Umrah. I think it was Hajj. See, so, yeah, that man must be making wuzu nicely at home and going to the masjid to read the faras. Yeah, he won't make wuzu at the masjid, follows everything nicely, make wuzu nicely, and then he's coming to the masjid. So that's the dream that was shown, that he put on his ihram and proceeding for Hajj. But so easily you can do it. Just that little bit of presence of mind. Let me get this thing done. Let me get this thing here. I won't get this chance again. There's a goal. There's a reward. There's a remuneration. So you feel fulfillment and satisfaction.